the book of 1 Kings, chapter 17. We will be in other verses tonight. We're going to do a bit of a Bible study on the raven, as we said. But we read in that verse 6 of the chapter, verse 6, we read, "The ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook." Last year, on March the 22nd, a terrible atrocity struck the city of Brussels. On that date, I'm sure you remember well, ISIS terrorists, they planted bombs in a railway station and also in the airport of that city. A photographer named Fedja Grulovic was in a small village in Greece taking pictures of a refugee camp. As she was busy snapping away in that camp, snapping the plight of the people, there was a little boy who came and walked across her path. And that little boy, he was holding a picture, and on that picture it stated, "Sorry for Brussels." Shortly after, she kept going and kept taking pictures, and she stumbled across another little boy, and this time he had no t-shirt on, and on his stomach were written the words, "Sorry for Brussels." And the pictures of these children that photographer took, they explained, they displayed, they conveyed so much more than any words imaginable. You see, a picture paints a thousand words. Pictures, they bring to light the feelings, the thoughts and the emotions. In fact, there is an old saying that is attributed to an old emperor in China, that a picture speaks a thousand words. And I believe personally that the Lord knew that pictures would speak to human beings. And that is why there are so many of them in the Bible. For example, the Lord sometimes, he used pictures in his parables. You take, for example, the picture of the marriage supper in Matthew 22, or the picture of the wise and foolish virgins in Matthew chapter 25. There in those two parables, they depict the need to be ready and to respond before his second coming. Christ also used many other pictures. For example, he used the folly of sewing a new piece of clothing or cloth on an old one to illustrate the folly of trying to tie together works and grace. Christ wasn't the only person who used pictures in his writings. You think of Paul, and there as he wrote to young Timothy, young discouraged Timothy, in encouraging him in the battle, we find he used the picture of a warrior and also of a wrestler to encourage him on in the work of God. The Lord, he uses individuals and items, but the Lord also uses animals as well in Scripture. For example, you think of 1 Peter. There the Lord, he uses the animal of a lion to depict how terrible and how strong the devil is. He also uses the animal of a dove to depict the idea of gentleness. Another animal that we can learn lessons from, I believe, is the raven. The raven, it first appears on the scenes or the pages of the Bible as a dirty animal. It appears in Leviticus there as one of the unclean animals. But as you travel through Scripture, you then find a different picture being painted of the raven. The dirty animal as it starts out, and the directionless animal as well. It then suddenly becomes a beautiful and a useful thing. Until we find it here in 1 Kings chapter 17. The Lord comes to the raven, the old black and the old dirty raven. And there he intervenes in the existence of the raven. And he tells it to go and to take flesh and bread and to feed and sustain the prophet Elijah. And like the raven in the Bible, the Lord can take that which is despicable and make it beautiful and useful. He delights in taking lives and turning them upside down. Oh, tonight you need to learn the simple but the potent truth that you were born into this world just like the raven, as a dirty animal, as it were. As the raven is depicted as black in Scripture, so you have a blackened heart. And the Lord, you need the Lord to intervene in your life and your experience. And you need Him to make you useful. You need Him to make you beautiful. Oh, tonight, have you had that change? That change of regeneration within your heart? That change of conversion? Will you turn from your sin and you then become beautiful and useful to the Lord? And so tonight I want to draw your attention very simply to the raven in Scripture. The raven in Scripture. I want you to see firstly here its dirtiness. Its dirtiness. In Deuteronomy 14 verse 10, we find Moses, he outlines certain animals that the children of Israel couldn't eat. And there we read, "But these are they of which ye shall not eat." Then in verse 12 we read, "And every raven after his kind." Here Moses, he mentioned to the children of Israel certain animals that they couldn't eat, or that they could eat rather. He speaks of the oxen, the sheep, the goat, and he also underlines certain types of fish that were fit and healthy for consumption. After mentioning animals that they couldn't or they could eat, he then mentions certain birds that they couldn't eat. He mentions birds, for example, like the eagle and the vulture. And Moses then went on to say in that verse 12, "And every raven after its kind." In other words, he was saying this. It doesn't matter what type of raven it is. You can't eat it. It is an unclean animal. You come into contact with that animal and it will render you ceremonially unclean before God. And if they were to eat or even to touch the raven, they would then have to go through a very, very rigorous series of rituals to be cleansed of that uncleanness and be fit for worship and fit for approaching God. As if to remind us of the dirtiness of the raven, Song of Solomon 5 verse 11 states, "Black as a raven." The raven was black. It was, and this is just to illustrate, I believe, further its ugliness or its dirtiness. And we find here Elijah. Elijah, he was famishing. Elijah, he was by the brook Cherith. He looked up into the skies and he saw a raven. And he would have automatically been reminded of the truth that if he were to come into contact with that animal or eat that animal, that that would make him unclean and unfit for God. And like the raven, man is not naturally or morally clean. He is naturally and morally unclean. He is black and dirty before the Lord. Just as Solomon described the raven, so is every man born into this world. As the raven was born, black as it were, so as you are born spiritually black. Black, of course, it is a dark colour, and it reminds you of the darkness and the depravity of your heart without the regeneration of Jesus Christ or the Holy Spirit. And in your natural condition, I want you to see yourself just like the raven. A grimy animal. A grubby animal. Soiled and sullied and spoiled before the Lord. If you were to use the barometer of the law, you will discover, just like the raven, just like the raven, you are unclean. And if you, even as the raven, as it had that influence of making everything else it touches unclean, so you have exactly the same influence. Indeed, as if to remind us of this truth, we read in Matthew 15, verses 18 to 20, "Those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart. They defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murderers, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man." And Christ reminds us that the outward comes from the inward. If a man's a murderer, if he has a desire even to steal or to blaspheme, if he, as it were, commits the sin of adultery, it all starts within. It all starts within his darkened, his dirty, his blackened heart. The defilement of the hand, it comes from the desire of the heart. And tonight, your external acts of sin, it reveals the internal wickedness of your heart. Oh, as you perhaps look up or you look around and perhaps you see a raven or an animal just like it. Oh, think of that truth. Maybe tomorrow morning as you see an old black crow go across your path, think about this truth. The Lord, he's teaching you a lesson there. He's teaching you just like that animal. So within, we're black. Within, we're dirty. Within, we're unclean. Before God, you think of a lump of coal, and it's black. And if you were to go and just lift a lump of coal, what happens to your hand? It becomes black too. Then as you go and maybe you wipe your clothes or you touch perhaps the door or something else, then it becomes black as well. And that is just like sin. It comes in. It enters into the life. And it takes control. And then it destroys absolutely everything it comes into contact with. It's dirtiness, but I think also concerning the raven, we notice its disquiet. It's disquiet. Genesis 8 verse 7 is the first time we meet the raven in the Bible. And there we read concerning Noah as the waters were beginning to recede in the ark, or as the ark was in the world. We read Genesis 8 verse 7. He sent forth a raven which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. The raven, it was a carnivorous animal. That simply means that it feasted on meat, or it feasted on animals. Whenever Noah was wondering whether the waters had resided, he sent out a raven before he then sent out a dove. Of course, it was a logical thing to do. If a raven came back and it had perhaps something in its mouth, that would say to Noah that there is life again on the earth, that there are animals wandering about. But I want you to notice how the raven's described as Noah sent it forth to see whether there was life. We're told in this verse, verse 7, which went forth to and fro. Think about that. Think about the existence of the raven. It just went out, and then it came back again. It went backwards and forwards. It probably never entered the ark, but it just went out for a while, and then it would come back. It was just doing the same old thing, the same old routine, day in and day out. It was a vicious circle. It was, therefore, I believe, an unsettled animal. It was constantly on the move, constantly going, as we read here, constantly moving to and fro, living an aimless, pointless existence, but always on the go. And often is that not how it is with the sinner, rather than being at ease? Often the sinner is agitated. He's constantly on the go. Now, it is a good thing to be busy. It is a good thing to be busy for the Lord. But do you not often find that it is the case that when someone is not right with God and all is not well with their soul, that they're just like the raven? They go to and fro. They, as it were, try to fill their lives with stuff and with this and with that, because there's no contentment, there's no calmness. They always need to be running here or running there, doing this or doing that, chasing this pipe dream or chasing that pipe dream. Always seeking contentment, always seeking satisfaction, but never finding it. Always like the raven, running to and fro. Wonder tonight, is that a picture of you? You always have to be doing something. This is a good thing to be industrious. Don't get me wrong, the Bible teaches that. But I wonder, do you ever just take time just to sit down? Just to think about the need of your soul? Wonder perhaps is the reason you're so busy and so out and about doing this and doing that is because you want to block out God. Because you don't want to think about the matters of eternal life. I believe personally that that's why the devil has society so busy today, Because they don't want, he doesn't want them to sit down and stop and think about the eternal realities of heaven and hell. As if to paint a similar picture, the preacher Solomon, he stated in Ecclesiastes 1 and verse 6, "The wind goeth toward the south, and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits." What Solomon is saying here is that this is what the worldly man is like. The man who is a vain man. He is just like the wind. As the wind goes to the north and then to the south, it just does the same old circuit, the turning and whirling, doing the same thing over and over again. And outside of Christ, whilst you're always seeking, you are never finding. You will always try and seek contentment, but never find it. Wonder tonight, are you just like the raven? Just like the wind? Going from north to south. Going from to and fro. Not wanting really to sit down and to think about the eternal matters of your soul. Is your life just one constant, continual motion, running here and running there, but never satisfied? This is the emptiness of seeking satisfaction in the world. Theologian Herman Bavinck once wrote, "God and God alone is man's highest good." And the reason that you're running about and you're agitated is this. Because God has planted within the deep recesses of your soul a desire to know him. And a desire to love him. And whenever you don't, as it were, conform to this desire, and you seek to fulfill yourself in other ways, then you're not satisfied. You're only satisfied when you're at peace with God through Jesus Christ. You know, a wealthy businessman, he saw a fisherman sitting beside his boat, playing with his son. The businessman, always thinking about money, he came to the fisherman and he said to him, "Why are you not out fishing?" The man returned to the businessman and said, "Well, I've caught my lot for today. I've caught enough fish. I'm just spending some time with my son." The businessman said, "It's still light. Why don't you go out and catch more fish?" And the fisherman replied, "Well, what would I do with all those fish?" And the businessman said, "Well, you could sell those fish and then you can buy a bigger boat. And then in that bigger boat, you could go out further into the sea. And you could cast your rod deeper, as it were, and then you could catch even more fish. And then you would have even more money." The fisherman said, "Well, what would I do with the money then?" He said, "Then you could buy another boat. And then you could buy a third boat and a fourth boat. And you could even be like me and you could have an entire fleet." The fisherman stated, "And then what would I do?" Then the businessman stated, "Well then, you could really think about enjoying life." Is it not the case so often that we never really enjoy life? We're running about and we're agitated, all is not well. And we have that discontentment. Why? Because we're not right with the Lord. Because there is that barrier, as it were, that we have erected between ourselves and him. The raven, its dirtiness, its disquiet. But I want you to see, thirdly, its disdain. It's disdain. Proverbs 30 verse 17 we read, "The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out and the young eagles shall eat it." Here we see really what a harsh and what a disdainful animal the raven really is. What does the raven do? Well, this verse teaches us that those who don't honour their fathers and mother, the ravens come, the ravens of the valley, and they come and they literally pick out the eyes of those young individuals. They then take those eyes and they feed their young, the young birds with those eyes. How harsh, how cruel of the raven. As if to further display the cruelty or the disdain of the raven, we read in Psalm 147 in verse 9, "He giveth to the beast his food, and to the young ravens which cry." Underline the phrase there, "young ravens which cry." The picture here is of little, young, newly born ravens. And they're crying. They're crying for food. Why are they doing that? Well, the raven is known to be a very harsh animal, as I said, and it displays this in driving its young ones away far too early from the nest, and often the little ones are left to fend for itself. How harsh, how cruel an animal, leaving a little one just to fend for itself. Perhaps this explains the question asked in Job 38, verse 41. Who provideth for the raven his food? When his young ones cry unto God, they wander for lack of meat. And the raven is, yes, a dirty animal and not a content animal, but it's also a very cruel animal, a very, very harsh animal. And whilst man can be kind, can it not all be said of, also be said of him that he could be cruel? And often it is man's cruelness that highlights the harsh nature of sin. Don't get me wrong. Man can show great kindness, great acts of benevolence to his fellow man. He displays the natural affections of love and of generosity. But is it not the case that whilst man can be kind, he can also be very, very cruel, very harsh at times, very tough, very hard, and whether it be in family or friendship or a social, a normal, a casual setting, there's perhaps a harshness there. And I wonder tonight, are you like the raven? Are you a harsh individual? Are you a cold individual? The type of individual who would just cut someone down just like that? I wonder, are you that callousness? Well, perhaps you're just displaying that you are a sinner and in desperate need of the grace of God in your life. Romans 1 verse 31 and 32 tells us, depicting those who have turned their back against God, we read that they are without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, listen to it, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Paul here is speaking of those who have turned their back completely on the Lord, who have given themselves over to sin and to wickedness. What does he state there? He states that they're unmerciful. He states there that they do not even display natural familial affection and love. And when you become hardened to sin, you then become harsh in your sin. You become harsh in your dealings with men. And I wonder, does the harshness of the raven, I wonder, is perhaps that just the type of person that you are? Do you display this type of disposition, this type of temperament? Often, as a sinner, you demonstrate your sinnership by your cold and callous nature. Its dirtiness, its disquiet, its disdain, but I want you to see fourthly its disturbance. Its disturbance. 1 Kings 17, we read in that verse 4, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. It hasn't been a pretty picture that we've built up of the raven so far, has it? But it seems that there is something that changes in these verses. Whilst there is a bad picture of the raven painted, it's a dirty animal, a disquiet animal, a very, very harsh animal. It seems here that there is now a change in the perception and the description of the raven. Something happened. Something happened to make this animal now useful to God. Well, we saw previously how the raven was a directionless animal. How it was an animal that always was wandering and always was going to and fro. But here in 1 Kings 17, we find that God, he specifically intervenes in the existences of these ravens. The animal which was previously directionless, doing its own thing, going to and fro. Now it's under the control of God. Now the Lord intervenes. He takes charge of them. And he directs them to take bread and flesh and feed Elijah by the brook. And those who are under retribution need intervention. They need God to intervene and to change their lives. And here we find that it was a change. There was a change. God stepped into the raven, its existence. And he, as it were, began to lead it and to direct it and to as it were, bring it along with himself. Yes, it was still a black animal, but the Lord, he's now changing it. He is making it useful to him. And tonight you need to see yourself as unclean and restless and even harsh. And you need to realize that just as the raven experienced that intervention from God, so you need a similar intervention. You need an intervention that changes you, that changes your disposition and changes your outlook on life. What do you need? You need a new heart. You need the heart of stone to be taken away from you. And you need the heart of flesh. The theologians call this term regeneration. You think about that term for a second. You think of the first book of the Bible. What's it called? What is its name? Its name is Genesis. It's called that because it means the book of beginnings. That's where it all starts. It is generated, as it were, in Genesis. To think of the term regeneration, what does it mean? It means to restart. It means to, as it were, start again. And that's what you need. You need the Lord to enter into your experience by the Holy Spirit, give you an appetite for himself, and you need to experience that change of will and change of direction. And this is something only God can give you. This is something you can't give yourself. You can't change your own will, your own desire, your own thoughts, your own feelings. You can't do these things. The Lord needs to do it for you. You need that intervention of God. And it's something only God, by His Spirit, applying the Word to your heart, can do for your soul. And I trust that He does it. I trust that you are born anew from above. Jeremiah 24, verse 7 speaks of this change, this new covenant change. When we read there, verse 7, I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. For they shall return unto me with their whole heart. Notice there the dual use of the word heart. Jeremiah states to the people there who had rebelled against God and rejected God, he states, I'll give you a new heart. I'll give you a new desire. I will give you new yearnings after me. And what's the result of it? And they shall return unto me with their whole heart. With the intervention of regeneration, there then comes direction. God changes you from the inside out. And suddenly he begins to change the direction of your life. He begins to lead you. Begins to guide you. Like the raven, he begins to show you what you're to do. Begins to show you the right path, the right road, the right course in life. But you need to experience it. You need to experience this intervention. Have you experienced it this evening? I want to ask you a biblical question. Are you converted? Have you changed? Have you turned around? Have you turned from your sin? And have you turned to Jesus Christ? The raven, its dirtiness, disquiet, disdain, disturbance. But I want you to see, lastly, its display. In 1 Kings 17, verse 6, we read, the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and they drank of the brook. What a change has been wrought now in the life of the raven. This animal which was black, animal which was dirty, animal which was directionless in life. Notice here now what it's doing. It's displaying that change. You see, now it's useful to the Lord. Elijah was a starving prophet. He was by the brook Cherith. He had fallen on hard and difficult times. And who is it that brings Elijah his daily food provision, daily meat and daily bread? It's the raven. It's the unclean animal. It's this animal which previously had no direction in its existence. Oh, what a change now. What a display of the change that had been wrought in the raven. Now it's a useful animal to the Lord. As if to illustrate this, in Song of Solomon 5, verse 11, we read, his head is as the most fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. This is the Shulamite woman describing her beloved, and who of course is a picture of Jesus Christ. Now we find the blackness of the raven. It's now described in a positive light. It's described as a glorious thing. Once the Lord intervened in that old black raven, it became an animal actually used to depict the glory of Christ. And when the Lord intervenes, that which is black suddenly becomes beautiful. You display the glow and glory of Christ. Oh, without Christ, just like the raven, you're dirty. But with Christ, there is the difference. There is that display of His glory. That display of His beauty. And you're useful. You're useful to Him. There's even an application here to the saint. You think of Elijah. He was starving. He needed food. If he didn't have food, he would die. And of course, it was a beautiful thing for these ravens to come and to, as it were, sustain that starving prophet. And surely as we look around, do we not really see the picture of the soul winner coming and giving living bread to those who are starving? It's a glorious thing. It's a beautiful thing. Does Romans 10 not say that? How beautiful are the feet of those who bring glad tidings. Oh, tonight are you busy? Are you busy in that good way? Busy displaying the glory of Christ in serving Jesus Christ. You think of the coal that we mentioned earlier. The lump of black coal. And you take it and it makes everything it contacts dirty. But when you take the coal, it's an old cold wintry night, and you throw it in the fire. Suddenly that old black piece of coal, that old dirty piece of coal, it suddenly becomes useful. Suddenly it's used to heat an entire room and maybe even an entire floor. And that is really what's happening here with the raven. A dirty animal. No direction. Going to and fro. Very, very harsh animal. But then the Lord intervenes. And now it's beautiful. Once was black, but now beautiful. May God bless these thoughts to your heart and soul this evening.